Siddur Snippets is generously sponsored by the Saka family and by Ayelet and Avram Foreman as well. We are on the bracha of Valam Alshinim, still the introduction we last left off. How many brachas really are there to the Amida? We call it Shmona Esrei. It's a machlokas, the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, where there are originally 18. Valam Alshinim is number 19. And three opinions in the Gemara, how we arrived at that number, and therefore what right do we have to add a 19th? Or there were originally 17. Valam Alshinim is number 18. And that's why it is still called Shmona Esrei. We suggested several reasons why maybe it's still called Shmona Esrei. So Valam HaShinim, we read the Rambam. The Rambam gave us the historical background of what precipitated, what led to the genesis of this bracha, Valam HaShinim. The time of Rabbi Gamliel II in Yavna, when the Sanhedrin was relocated to Yavna after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, the heretics, the Tzedukim, were seeking to corrupt the Jewish Mesorah, our Mesorah. And they were moser. They tried to turn their rabbinic colleagues into authorities and to cost Jewish lives. And it was a devastating time for the traditional Jewish community, for the observant community, for the Mesorah community. So much so, the Rambam writes, Rabbi Gamliel felt he had no choice but to author a bracha, to institute into our davening, to incorporate. We'll see, originally it was not every day, three times a day, the way we have it now. Originally it was only on fast days. The same way we say Neinu on fast days, we have a certain insertion to the Amida on fast days. The original hope would be that on a fast day, a day of tshuva, we can invoke Hashem's mercy to eliminate and altogether obliterate those forces that were challenging our Mesorah. But ultimately, it wasn't enough. And the tzedukim, the threat that they posed, the damage that they did was such that it was instituted, ultimately Shmuel HaKotan, the author will describe right now, instituted not only on Tanesim, on fast days, but it was added to our Amida, to our Shmona Esrei, three times a day. So that was the threat, and that was what inspired this bracha. So the Gemara in Brachas tells us that when Rabbi Gamliel was moved, was motivated, to 500 years after Anshei Knesset HaGadolah authored the Amida, the Shmona Esrei, to institute another bracha, he wondered, who could author it? We know the problem. We know the theme. But who? Who from the generation can we recruit? Who's qualified? Who's credible? Who is the one who should author this bracha, who could find the right words? What was he worried about, Rabbi Gamliel? We don't find this elsewhere. Nobody challenges which of the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah, what was their motive. For this bracha, all of a sudden, we're worried about motive. For this bracha, we're worried about how pure a person is. We're worried about a bias. We're worried about who it is. So much so that Rabbi Gamliel was stuck. He announced, who can author it? And ultimately, who was the author that emerged? None other than Shmuel HaKotan. Gemara Brachas Chav Ches Amar Aleph. Who was Shmuel HaKotan? Why was he called HaKotan? He was low in stature, low in height. What made him a cotton? Couldn't grow a beard? Why was he called Shmuel HaKotan? Why was he Shmuel HaKotan? And why was it only him? The Mishnah in the fourth parak of Pirkei Avos teaches us that Shmuel HaKotan says, "Bin folei vecha al tismach." We all invoke this teaching of Shmuel HaKotan. We remember it when on Pesach we don't say full halal for the remainder of Pesach. When at the Seder we remove some of the wine during the Makos. What was the teaching of Shmuel HaKotan? We have enemies and we need to eliminate those enemies from the earth. But we don't take joy. They too are creatures of Hashem. What's extraordinary about this quote of Shmuel HaKotan in Pirkei Avos is Shmuel HaKotan the original author? Is that an original thought? Where did he get it from? It's not a trick question. It's a pasuk. Shmuel HaKotan was quoting a pasuk. And yet, because he didn't just quote the pasuk, but he lived the pasuk. It's who he was and it's how he lived. It was his humility, his sensitivity, his love for all of humanity, that even though, of course, he was willing to confront and to challenge and eliminate dangers and threats like enemies, but bin folei vecha al tismach. The reason it's attributed to him is he didn't just say it. That would be plagiarism. He could have qualified to be an Ivy League president, but that would be plagiarism. He didn't just plagiarize a pasuk. The reason it's attributed to him is because he lived that pasuk. That's who he was. That's how he lived. That's what the Bar Tanura explains, that it's attributed to Shmuel HaKotan, says the Bar Tanura, because that pasuk was his constant companion. It was how he identified. Hu Haya Omer. The Hu Haya Omer is he, all throughout Pirkei Avos, who he was and how he lived, Hayomer, through his example and through his actions. That's what he says. It's Shmuel HaKatan. So why do you need somebody, Bin Falei Vecha Al Tismach? Why is motive so important with this bracha? So I would suggest two reasons. Number one, because it was pretty brazen to author another bracha 500 years after the Anshei Knesset Agedola already closed the Amidah. To say somebody should now add to it, modify it, an addendum, expand it, you needed the right person, the righteous person to do it. But moreover, what's the theme of the bracha? What's our hope in this bracha? We're seeking the demise of fellow Jews. V'lam al-shinim, we think about enemies in general. This is a bracha. Rav Shechter was here alluded to that we should be having kavana, particularly during this war. We're thinking about the broad category of enemies, but the specific motivation, the opening word, v'lam al-shinim, v'lam minim, the minim, the tzedukim, are fellow Jews. So if a person's going to find the words to author a prayer for the demise of a fellow Jew, they better be pure. They better have a pure motive. It better not be tainted or biased by anything else. And the only person Rabbi Gamliel concluded who was deemed worthy of doing such a thing was none other than Shmuel HaKatan. Shmuel HaKatan, who had already proved that he didn't have a personal bias when it came to these matters, when it came to these issues, because that's the Mishnah Novus, that's how he lived, that's who he was. He therefore was uniquely qualified to author it and to write it. And the Gemara there tells the story of how he wrote it. And it was forgotten, and he had to remember it, and he had to reestablish it, and originally only on fast days, with the hope that that would be enough to invoke Hashem's mercy and to stall the progress of the Minim and Mashinim and the Tzedukim. But when it proved unsuccessful, then it had to be expanded to be said at all of our tefillos. We'll continue with this tomorrow night, but you could ask, Rabbi Anderson Jaibshitz is bothered. We don't have Minim. We have Minim. We don't have Tzedukim. Tzedukim, Karaim. It's also this week's Parsha. Lo Savaru Eish, the origin of eating cholent on Shabbos, hot food to prove you're not a tzeduki. So why are we still saying this bracha? Who should we be thinking of when we say this bracha today? We'll continue with tomorrow night.